All right, marketing. How many of you have an MBA? All right, one. So one. And the truth is, even when you have an MBA or you have some other kind of formal training like that related to marketing, it still isn't necessarily what we needed here. And the vast majority of us, clearly, we never had a marketing class. We don't know about those sorts of ideas. And part of what I want you to really think about is all along, there's a continuum. And you may be at any place on that continuum. Some of you are in your fifth edition of your textbook. And turns out you still need to market. Some of you have the idea for your dissertation. You haven't even mentioned it to your but it's there. And you already need to start marketing. Others of you have articles. Some people have a blog. Some people are getting ready to send in a proposal. All along the continuum, I want you to recognize that you need to market. And it turns out, get to stop. So if you think, gosh, I'll be so glad when I can stop marketing. And you can stop marketing about the time, you know, you make the deep dive. And so if you're missing my meaning there, ask somebody close by you. So we're going to look at just a couple of different definitions of marketing today. And I tried to give you a lot of information in the packet and so forth. But one way that marketing is defined is getting the people to the product. So this is not about sales. Sales is getting the product to the people. You've got to get the people to the product. Whether you are the product, whether your book is the product, whether your articles, whatever it is that you are writing, people can't very well access it if they don't even know. So we're going to play with ideas today to help people know more about you and what you do. And the reason I say that it's marketing that matters is it's all great to write a textbook, and we really like it if our mom likes it. But it's very helpful if other people also know about it, because you look at the amount of time and energy and education that you've put into it, and you know what a difference it can make for people. On the very front page of your handout, right down at the bottom, so even before we get in there, I want you to write down what it is that you are afraid is going to happen if you put yourself out there. So your deepest, darkest fear about, so if you think, well, what if I put up a billboard about myself, what might happen? Or what if I mention to someone that I'm actually pretty good in this topic? Or, I think I might be an expert. what would happen if you told people that? What's your biggest fear? This is an intimate conference. We have no secrets. And so just somebody sitting right close by you, just quickly whisper what your biggest fear is about putting yourself out there, and have that person tell you. That you're worried about, you're good. You're fine. Your biggest fear is not going to happen. And I promise that, because whatever it is your fear is, a whole bunch of other people also worried about that, and they live to tell about it. Some of you may think, well, the people in my department are going to think I'm just too big for my britches. Yeah, and that's probably going to happen anyway. That's kind of what turns out when people are successful. And so those of you who have an intention of being successful and you know you're successful, not everyone will celebrate that with you. And darn it, we wish that they would, but it doesn't turn out that way. And yet so many other people will celebrate you and appreciate what's going to happen. The way I started to learn about marketing was I started out as a classroom in 1977. Do some workshops. And I just did them for free. Because people might want to know about learning centers. And so there I took my little cute 21-year-old self. I sent out flyers to the other schools, and teachers came. It was fun. And I thought, well, this is awesome. So then eventually when I went to graduate school and, you know, had $7 total, and I thought, well, I should probably do some workshops. And so I did workshops then and invited other people. And I thought, this is great. I have more than $7 now. And so I just sent out flyers, because that was a long time ago. And then eventually finished my doctorate and became a professor at the University of Nevada, Reno. Then I sent out flyers again and letters and so forth to the school districts, letting them know I was teaching classes on this, that, and the other. And faculty, some of the other faculty, why would you do that? I said, because I really want these people to take my classes. They said, you get paid the same. And I said, well, this is a land-grant institution, which, sorry, minor political moment. I need to somehow remind the university of that. But Nevada, Reno is a land-grant. I said, I think our job is to help as many people as possible. And people came. How would they have even known I was there or that I was teaching these classes if I didn't send out the flyers? So this just continued, and eventually when I started the Excellence in Teaching program, I was working with faculty around campus who wanted to be even better teachers than they already were. What we ended up creating was a waiting list for every damn class. And the only way we could do that is we had to get the word out in a lot of different ways. So now, you know, in my current life, you know, it's a different kind of marketing, and it's a whole different time as well because of all the different ways to be able to get the word out. So if you go to the second page of your handout, one of the definitions of marketing, and if you're wondering, what's the deal with the puffins? You know, which metaphor would you rather have? Marketing like a puffin or marketing like a slug? I mean, wouldn't you rather market like a puffin and use those sorts of lessons? Wouldn't you rather have cute pictures of puffins rather than slugs? So that's why I picked, and plus it's my favorite animal. The first definition is you are presenting products and services in such a way as to make them desirable. You've got to figure out how whatever you've written is desirable, or how knowing you is desirable, or how something you have to offer is desirable. And you have to put it out there. And you have to let people know about that. And if you think, well, I'm not sure I know how to do that, ask people who care about you. Look at some of the most positive comments that you ever get on student evaluations. What are the words that they say? How do they talk about you? When you get letters from people who've read your articles, or they comment on your blog, or a faculty member who's used one of your textbooks, what do those people say? And pull that language, because you have to use words that are the words that are already in other people's heads. So that's why sometimes when we create our own marketing materials, we're convincing ourselves why this is a good publication. And it turns out you're not buying it. And so you've got to figure out, well, how would other people, what would make a difference for them? What would be meaningful for them? So ask around. Also, you want to create, and I know a lot of people in higher ed, people go, oh, I don't want to think about customers. Well, put it in quotation marks if you want to. You've got to create a client. You've got to create a customer following. And once you create that, that. You don't want to lose those people. So what are you going to do to stay connected to them, to keep them? And there's all kinds of research about how much more it costs to get someone than it does to keep somebody. And so this is why we want to think about consistency. And then how are you going to keep them satisfied? If they love what you write, then you might want to write some more. And you might want to ask them, well, what kinds of things would help you? What would be a good addition to this textbook? What kind of other articles would you like for me to be writing? So that you're constantly checking in with them. And what you want to make sure that you write down on that second page is creating ideal customers. Those of you who think, well, you know what, I really don't care as long as people buy or read what I write, I'd like to disavow you of that notion. You're going to want to figure out who really are your peeps. And don't worry about the other people. There's more than enough to worry about if you just figure out who your people are. Question? Oh, no. Okay. Then the last definition that I've got there is the idea of helping people to be aware of what you have, and you have to keep in mind that you're helping people become aware who are also willing to buy, which may or may not involve money. So that's the language here, but you are actually competing for something that is way, way harder for people to turn loose of than money. And what would that be?
Attention.
Their attention. Their attention. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of times we think, well, you know, I just don't know if people are willing to spend money. Forget it. People are absolutely willing to spend money. That's not your issue. Your issue is you are competing with scores or hundreds or thousands of other possibilities of what they could be thinking about, reading, talking about, sharing with other people. So start to look at that actually as what your competition is. It's not, well, how are they spending their money? Don't worry about that. You need to get their attention so that they're willing to give you and invest their time and energy. And you always want to make sure that you have honored that. Okay? Now, one of your right, which you certainly do after you've had a glass or two. Just playing. You're just thinking about that marketing is really your promise. And we could spend an hour just playing with that idea. What are you promising people? If they read what you've written, what are you promising them? And if you look at page 3 in your material, this is a sheet that you'll use this evening or on the plane when you're going back to just think about, well, what is my promise? And this might end up being somewhat of a recursive process. It isn't just that you have to answer that and then you go to the next question and the next question. You can think about, well, what am I promising people? Also, identify who you are. And none of this, I'm a faculty member. Wow. I mean, that's very exciting. And that doesn't tell people anything. And you're different from other faculty members. I mean, what else is it? I mean, you know how if you go to a party and people say, well, what do you do? I'm a professor. Oh. Of what? Metallurgical engineering. Have you seen him? So I want you to really, really write about the essence of who you are. Yes, there's a particular position you have or a job you used to have. Now you're doing this or that or the other, that's all fine. But really, and why should I care? To people through your writing. What do you offer them? And as much as possible, use solution language. Because people want problems solved. And if they believe your article or subscribing to your blog or buying your booklet or buying your course materials is going to solve a problem for them, they're interested in that. So try to phrase it in solution language if at all possible. If you just tell people, well, what I offer is information, that just doesn't get anyone all that excited about it. And then think about why other people need what you have. And again, if you can ask people, so much the better. You can ask them on Facebook. You can ask them on LinkedIn. You can interview people. I mean, you can just do a just randomly. You can send out questionnaires. I mean, there are a lot of ways to find out what it is that people need. Also, thinking about how they can get whatever it is that you have. That has to be part of your marketing language. And exactly where it is that they need to go. And you might have a website, you might have a domain name that redirects to your publisher. They might need to contact you. I mean, there are umpteen different ways that people could get information. For your own use, think about when you believe folks are going to be ready. So the people who do sell, their textbooks, so they write textbooks and so forth, well, you know when people have their adoption sort of cycle, but then you back plan from that. Because if you know that people are choosing course materials in May, then the time to market is not May. You've already missed the boat. Because it takes so many touches. That's one way to think about it. And the number used to be. It used to be about 5 to 7. It's way more than that now. And it's because of the sheer quantity of information that's coming to people. So it's the number of touches that you have and also the intervals between those touches. Yes, please.
What do you mean by touches?
Thank you. Touches could be, it's a way that you have touched someone's sort of eyeballs or ears or somehow they know here's who you are and what you have to offer and what your topic is and why I should trust you. And when we start looking at some of the specifics, those are all ways you could touch people. And it doesn't have to be the same thing. Like, let's pretend you are going to send out postcards about what you're doing, which actually works. Snail mail anymore actually works because it's people think, what the hell is this? And so it works because it's unique. And so you could send, you know, like 50 postcards to the same people. That would be an option. However, you could also do a postcard. You could do a phone call. You can do something on LinkedIn. You can somebody else who does something. I mean, there's a whole array of different ways, and each one of those would be a touch. Does that help some?
Oh, that's a lot.
Okay. Yeah. So that's one of your assignments for this evening, and I will be checking on that when I see you tomorrow to ask you how that has gone. Okay? So your promise, really be clear on that. And don't expect that this is a 5-minute activity. It's longer than that. It's longer than that. But once you hone in on that. And see, some of you do that in your classes. You make a promise to your students about what will happen as a result of them being in your class. And my guess is, it's not, you'll get an A. If some of you promise that, then we also need to have a little visit. But it's you promise them an experience. And when people are reading what you write, they are also having an experience. What is that experience? What do you want to promise people? And promise is a strong word, and it's an intentional word. Because it means something to people. You can even guarantee it. That really gets people excited. You mean you guarantee it? OK. Okay? So, some people might be worried about how much it costs to market. They just think, oh, for heaven's sakes, do you think I've got some kind of gigantic budget? And I know some of you are, you know, you got money just coming out the ears. And we're going to talk about some things that you can do with all that money. But other people are not, you know, you're not there yet. Because we know how academic publishing just brings in the dough like nobody's business. So what are you worrying? What are some numbers? Just shout out some numbers of what you think it might cost to market whatever it is you have in terms of money.
More than $7.
More than $7. Okay. Okay. So between $7,000 and $5,000, somewhere in there, but a lot of people have never even really thought about it. You just know, oh, it's too expensive. I can't market. It's too expensive. And we'll talk about, you know, some ways you can certainly spend money, but we're going to spend about 8 seconds on that part because I'm thinking there's more people toward the $7 range. But I want you to think about how much it costs not to market. And short answer, it costs you everything. If you don't market, then you better just jolly well be entertained by the fact that you write. Because no one will read it. And so if you just think, yes, I have locked myself in a room, or I've taken a sabbatical, or I've, you know, shunned all my friends and family, and I haven't bathed in 6 months, and I have this fine publication, no one's going to read it, but I had a heck of a time working on it. That's what it costs. So it costs everything not to market, which means we need to think about investing in the marketing. And I'm going to talk about investing not so much from the money perspective. If you just look at, you know, we've got a traditional little quadrant idea on page 5. And we'll start in the upper right-hand corner. This is when you have lots of money and lots of time. I mean, lots of money and lots of time. So raise your hand if you're one of those people. Okay? All right, so 1, 2. So tons of money, tons of time. And so there are ideas, especially for them, on page, well, I'll get to it. I think I might have skipped a slide, or else I was just getting very excited here. Let's see. Oh, no, there we go. How about people who have lots of money and no time? All right, so we have no one in that category. We had 2 in the upper right, no one in the upper left. But if someday you are in one of those, if you look on page 10, that's where the ideas are for lots of money and no time. And then page 11, you don't need to worry about spending a bunch of time reading those right now. And page 11 is lots of money, lots of time. So just save those for some other day, okay? Now what about, how many of you say, and I'm flashing up in the wrong order, pretend this one came up next. How many of you have very little money and no time? Okay, so that's a popular one. And so if you're wondering where's the page with those ideas, there's not a page with those ideas. Because it's going to be one or the other or both as far as what you've got to put in. However, with no money or very little money, and I know you think, well, I don't have lots of time, but remember what it costs you if you don't market. So all of this you play with. And so I think I've given you 3 pages, and I could have given you about 10. I gave you 3 pages of ideas that will apply in the not much money, and I know it's going to take time. Something's coming. And So if you go through those later and you're not clear on what some of them are, and maybe some of the other people that you're rooming with or talking, then just, you know, check in with me. And you're also welcome to email me, you know, certainly after the program, if we don't get to catch up with each other this weekend. Because what I want you to realize, I am out of order. Okay. Why is it doing this? So embarrassing. All right. But if that's the worst thing that happens today, my life is pretty good. But with this particular idea is you are absolutely going to, you're thinking, well, I'm going to spend something. But I definitely am using the word invest. It is an investment. If you use LinkedIn as a way of getting the word out about what you do, I don't find LinkedIn all that just entertaining. And maybe there are people who do. But it's an investment. If you want your LinkedIn page to look good so that when people go there and they say, I found you on LinkedIn, you don't want to say, oh, I'm so sorry you found me there. I know it's terrible. Blah, blah, blah. We don't want to waste time with that. You'd rather go ahead and have something that you feel okay about, knowing that you'll always like it better later on. If you have a web page that's live, then you don't want to say, oh gosh, no, don't go there. If you think, oh no, don't go there, then take it down. You know, just unpublish it for now until you finish working on it. One of the things that has probably helped me with perfectionism more than anything, more than years of therapy, which has helped a lot, but more than that, was starting to have web pages. Because guess what? You will never, ever have a perfect web page. Ever. I don't care if 350,000 people proofread it. Somebody will email you after it's been up, you know, a certain page has been up for 7 years, doing fine, and somebody will say, did you know your name was misspelled? Or did you know you use its with an apostrophe and not it's without an apostrophe? And if you start flogging yourself every single time you get one of those emails, you're going to have a lot of bodily injury. So just realize that you can put something up that you know is good and you do not need to apologize for it, and it's not perfect. I hope what you're promising the people through your writing is not perfection. Because if it is, give it up, babe. Okay? All right, so some of you think, I wonder if she thinks she's funny. You know, I have to entertain myself. Yes?
It sounds like what you're saying, if we're going to invest something, we should like it a lot. So if I don't like doing a web page, I shouldn't do one. Or if I don't like blogging, everybody says, oh, blogging's the way to go. You should blog. But if that's not, if I don't like it, and I think I'd like a web page, do what I like then is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think you're really right. Because we are investing in whatever. We're either investing our time and working on things that we loathe or that repel us take way too much energy. It doesn't mean we don't sometimes, of course, do things that we don't particularly like, but there are so many ways to market. And so anybody who tells you the way to market is Twitter. And if they tell you that and you think, I'm just not tweeting. That is just stupid. I've got more to say than 140 characters. Then don't tweet, babe. No tweeting. And if you think, you know what, I really would like to have a good web page, but I don't want to learn WordPress. Somebody does. They already know how, and it actually doesn't cost very much to find someone. You give them some ideas, and then they have at it. So there are times to invest a little bit of money, but so many people, and I hear this all the time, where they think, but I am not paying somebody $75 to design my web page. Come now. You know, buy cheaper wine for a couple of weeks. See if they're in a little bit extra. You know, no more flat blacks at Starbucks. Just get your web page up. And so we've got to just take a look at these sorts of things. So there are such a huge array of ways to market. You do not have, well, and I'm going to tell you, do not do them all. Because then you might as well do none of them, in essence, because you're not going to get anybody's attention. And you'll be exhausted, and it won't end up having much of an impact. Okay? All right. So now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the letters of Puffin. I'm just using those as a guidance for some concepts. And I think we're on page 6. You know, you can see from looking at that picture, puffins are pretty planful. They don't just fling themselves at the ground. I mean, they've got an idea of where they're going to land, and then they go in there. And they're very un-aerodynamic birds, if you've ever seen them. I mean, they just don't look like they really should be able to fly. But it turns out that they can fly, and they can swim, and they can do all sorts of things. So they're very planful. You've got to be planful in your marketing. You cannot just be willy-nilly. And that's what can happen sometimes, because this person says, oh, I did this for my book. This person says, oh, this is the only way to go. And then we start, it's kind of like scatter shooting. You just nab this, that, and the other, and you get no impact, and you think, you know, none of these ideas work. I'm just wasting my time. And you're much better off to think carefully about what it is you want to accomplish. Now, you may be marketing to get a job. And if you think that ain't marketing, it is. It just is. And so you want to think about, where am I trying to get, and what's going to be the best way for me to be doing that? You're thinking about, I mean, many, many different aspects. Some of it is your overall intent. What do you want to have happen through your marketing efforts? What's your intent? Are you trying to increase, for example, the number of followers that you have on some of the different social media, which, by the way, anymore, if you're going with a traditional publisher, it's one of the things they're going to ask you. And so you may say, well, that's ridiculous. You can say it's ridiculous all you want. They're going to ask, how many LinkedIn followers do you have? How many people do you have on Twitter? What about Facebook? Do you have any separate pages? It's just part of what they ask. And you can say, you know what, I don't do any of that. Fine. Or you can say, I have this, this, and this. So what's your overall intent, though, as far as your marketing? What's the outcome that you want? Because, for example, you are marketing if you're trying to get your book accepted by a publisher, if you're going the traditional route. That's a marketing effort, because they have to be extremely selective in today's world. I mean, it's always been selective, but it's even more so at this point. You've got to plan the frequency of your marketing. And if you do it, if you say, well, I'm just going to market once a quarter, don't market at all. And I know that sounds rather strong, but it's the truth. Our attention spans are mighty short. And once a quarter, unless you have a heck of a following, in essence, of people who already know you, and so then you could send out a marketing piece here and there, and people would think, oh, yeah, psh, I know him, I know her, no problem. But the majority of you are too young to already have that. And so you've got to just recognize it's more frequent. So I'm not giving you it has to be every week or every 2 weeks, but be very careful about thinking, well, once a semester or once a quarter, I'll do something that's kind of marketing. You need to be thinking about it on a pretty consistent basis. You're also planful as far as the materials. What are you going to use? You know, are you using virtual materials? Are you using physical materials? Are you going places? Are you wearing things? I mean, it can be anything. So being planful about all of that. And then MWR is that stands for most wanted response. When you are marketing, determine what your most wanted response is. Do you want from, let's say you're sending out a letter, I'll just use a traditional letter, and you're sending that out, letting people know about your publication that's coming out, and you want, of the 150 letters that you send out, you want 5 of those people to call you. And you state that right in the letter, that you are asking if anybody has any questions or they're interested and they'd like to talk with you as the author. Here's your phone number and so forth. So your most wanted response from that letter is 5 phone calls. Now, you might get some other things, but that way you're very intentional about that one. In other cases, you have a completely different most wanted response. It could be a certain number of adoptions. Maybe you want to be interviewed by somebody at a particular media outlet. It could be any of that. I mean, this is a fascinating time. It's fascinating. It's overwhelming. But I like to think about it. It just means we have more choices. And if you bought as many forever stamps when those things first came out, Costco, we have Costco where I live, and they would, you know, sell those. And at the end of the year, I'd think, well, I'll just buy a whole bunch of these. Because I used to do lots and lots of mailings in that way. And I thought, well, this is awesome. I got stamps listed in my will. Honest to God, I have enough stamps. My assistant, I've told her, this week, how about if I paid you in stamps? And she looks at me like, what? I said, I got stamps, man. Okay. And then I also think that you need to be planful and really, I mean, I love teaching about calendars and so forth, but having a marketing calendar is a type of calendar that you need to have. And so if any of you want to just kind of play with that idea, we can talk about it later or tomorrow or something, or, you know, email me. Where you're not looking at anything else, you're just thinking about, I have this coming out, or I'm trying to accomplish this. What should I be doing quarterly, monthly, and so on and so forth? And you plot it out. I like using Google Calendar for that. Paper calendar works perfectly. I mean, any different kind of tool will work on that. So planful. The you is unmistakable. There is no question, especially during mating season, that a puffin is a puffin. They don't look like it. Nobody thinks, is that a crow? Is that a blue jay? People know it's a puffin. And one of my goals in life, I have a lot of goals, but one of them is for people to know the difference between puffins and penguins. I have a lot of stuff with puffins on it, and people go, oh, you like penguins? No, actually. I like puffins. This is a puffin on this bag or on my nice puppet. I'm fun on the airplane. And I'm an introvert, and so I really don't want to know anyone else on the airplane. I'm not making new friends, and so if somebody starts to talk to me, I'll go, hello. And I'll just talk to them with the puffin, and then they just turn away, put their headsets on, and we're good. You get a lot of tips in my workshop. Is that true or not? Kind of sideways, that you didn't know you were going to have them. Okay, so a puffin is unmistakable. You have to be unmistakable in your marketing. And by that I mean, I have to know that if you're marketing something, it doesn't look like anybody else's. Your tweets aren't like anybody else's. If you have a booth, your booth doesn't look like anybody else's. Your voicemail isn't like anybody else's. Your smile is not like anybody else's. So I want you to think about whatever it is that is your uniqueness, and unmistakable, both of those with the you, and play that. Go ahead and don't try to mix it with anybody else. Go ahead and, this is the problem sometimes. Some people will hire a PR firm, and that may or may not work. I know people that it has worked for. But other times, they came out with this bland kind of, like, cookie-cutter sort of thing. And it didn't really represent the person. And so I think you want to consider that. So, yes? Oh, wait.
So, unmistakable, is it like branding?
It would be. It's a type of branding. It's all part of the physical, as far as, and it could be you. So there are people who use themselves as part of their marketing. They have a distinct look, or they wear something that causes people to remember and talk about them. Now, for all of us who would just assume no one ever noticed us at all, the thought of that is dreadful. But then other people are okay with that. And then the way you use words, and we're word people, so we love words. And so go ahead and use language to fully represent who you are. The fact that you have a big vocabulary, and sometimes people will tell you, you know what, you've got to really bring that down. Why? I mean, I could, because it turns out I know little words also. But if the people I write for are other highly educated people who also know a lot of words, then I think I'll use big words. It's your choice. It's your choice. So it's just, again, something for you to just consider. And then if you ever have tangible items, then that's part of what you want to have as unmistakable. And so if I have a few just tangible items that, you know, people can, you know, pick up if they want to, just to, and it's just a way to see things, but you don't have to have any tangible items. But another part that has to be unmistakable is your most wanted response. You have got to get crystal clear on what that is and what it is that you want other people to, quote, buy. The confused buyer doesn't buy. And so sometimes people will maybe have a web page where somebody could do a lot of different things. They could sign up for your blog. They could download a 5-point checklist. They could request a book. And that's three choices. And so they go, I'm going somewhere else. And it's just the way it is. I mean, there's fascinating research about what happens with choices. And when we start to get too many choices, rather than thinking, wow, that is great, 17 kinds of jam, we think, I like a peanut butter sandwich. No jam. So vague is not what you're going for. Okay? Next is friendly. So we're on the F. Friendly. Puffins are friendly birds, it turns out. And they are not, they don't fight with other animals, so even though when they have their egg, they only have one baby at a time, and they feed that baby about 1,000 fish before that baby bails off of the cliff and may or may not make it. But if other animals sometimes will come in their burrows and they make them get out, but in a nice way. Look at that friendly. You know, it just says, hello, rabbit, move along. And so we've got to be friendly. People are doing business with you. And people would rather read the writing of people they somehow connect with. No, they're not coming over to your house. I hope. They're not coming over to your house. They're not inviting you to their child's bar mitzvah. I mean, any of that. It is just, I like you. You know, and they talk to other people about that. And this is truer and truer now than it has ever been. Because people can talk to other people in about a half a second. They just get out their phone and think, oh, I'm telling somebody about this. And, of course, you've got to be aware of that. If somebody calls your office to talk to you about your writing, if it's not a good time, you can certainly still say that. So this doesn't mean all of a sudden you become somebody that people can just walk over. I certainly don't mean that. You have your clear boundaries. But you are friendly. You are respectful. You tell people, you know what, I would love to talk to you about the research that went on for this particular project. I teach at 4 today, and I'd rather be able to focus on you. Could we schedule a time for later in the week? That's friendly. That's respectful. And the people are going to say, oh, absolutely. I'm so sorry. I should have asked you right away if this was a good time to talk. Some people who have blogs respond to every comment. And similar to what Jennifer and Maggie were talking about earlier, you've got to be careful with blogs and you've got to turn off all those just ding-dong comments that are just pure spam. But when real people make comments about your work, write them back. And you may think, I wish somebody made a real comment about my work. And people can't come make comments about your work on your blog if they don't even know your blog is there. And it takes time, you know, to build that sort of thing up. So when you're thinking about the friendly part, is just be aware of that you want to be approachable, you want your work to be approachable, you believe that your work makes a difference. And so just make sure that you are easy to respond to and or to connect with, and that you're really being consistent in this, because inconsistency obviously is a problem. We know this with our students. We can't be one way one week and then another way another week. It doesn't go well. We can all have a bad week. In a 15-week semester, you're probably going to have a bad week. Okay. You can live through that. But if one week they think, who's here today? then that's, we don't want that. You want your materials to be friendly. And I know there's one writing class I teach. And one time somebody told me not long ago, and she said, this is not at all what I expected. Hundreds and hundreds of people take this class. And she said, this is not at all what I expected. I want feedback. She said, you act like writing is fun. And she said, that is, ridiculous, and I would never have taken that class if I thought that's what you were going to say. And I said, shoot, all I have to do is click to send somebody their money back. Four people in the whole time I've ever done business have ever asked for their money back. Click. I mean, but pretty much if you go to my website, you think, she's friendly. the same person said, and your graphics, they're nowhere near serious enough. She probably would have rather had slugs. And it was not even about this. But I like people having a good time. Life is tough enough. Hello, do we have to look around in the United States? Life's tough enough. We better have some places of kindness, friendliness, solace, a haven, and again, not to get that way, but I can get that way pretty quickly. Okay? All right, I'm just talking way too much and too fast. Okay. Now, how about fearless? Fearless is our next F. So baby puffins have spent 40 days in their burrow being fed 1,000 fish, and the way that they finally come out of the burrow is the parent stops feeding them and says, all right, enough for you, little puffling. And that's exactly what happens. They stop feeding them, and so out comes the baby puffin, which is called a puffling, and it bails off of the cliff, and a huge percentage of them die on impact. I know. I didn't like that part. But it's what happens. They are fearless. Off they go. Now, here's the thing. Not going to die if you send out a flyer. You are not going to die if you post something on Facebook. You are not going to die if you appear on a radio show or you contact somebody you admire in the media and tell them about something that you're working on. You will not die. Other things may make you die, but not that. And sometimes I'll be talking to people about marketing, and really, if they market or don't market means they will, truthfully, I can think about two different people, they will feed their children or they won't feed their children. So either they market and they sell, or there's a big problem. And that sort of gets you off the dime. So I want you to think about, you've worked this hard to earn your degree, to do the things you've done. We just have to be fearless. And those of us who've been around a while, if the things that 10 years ago we were afraid of, it's like nothing now. There are all new things to be afraid of now. And so those of you that your very first time you ever posted something on social media, you just thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to like this. And we just didn't know what would happen. And now you're just out there just chatting it up with people. And you're not afraid of it at all. But now there's something else that you're afraid of. And I would encourage you to just take a little step and try it out. It might not work. That's the worst thing that's going to happen, is it won't work. You'll think, oh, that was a bust. Oh, well, a whole bunch of other things you've done in life have also been a bust. And yet here you are, which I find happy. So you want to be adventuresome in what you do, a little bit edgy, because it's part of what will get people's attention. And it doesn't mean you have to be a crazy nut. You want to be bold about maybe it's what you say. And I'm not talking about the people who post things, for example, that have gotten them in just all kinds of trouble. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is maybe do you want to be a contrarian? Do you want to post something that people say, wow, now I haven't thought about it in that way, or that's a different kind of thing. If you just put, what a nice day today. Nobody's reposting that, because who cares? And so if you found something in your research, or you are thinking about a theory that's been out for a long time, and you're realizing that the person who theorized it was not paying attention to everything, and you're going to go up against that. People will say, whoa, what about that? And then they'll want to find out, well, who is that little young thing posting that? And so think about, can you be bolder in what you say and do? Okay? Make sense? And is it scary? Yeah, it is. The eye is intriguing. Intriguing. On page 8, and this is from Visual Thesaurus, which I could not write without, by the way. It is probably in my top 10 favorite software. Love Visual Thesaurus. And one of the synonyms for intriguing, which is not in this particular one, is that it is, let me make sure I've got the right wording, disturbingly provocative. You write statistics, intro to statistics. Just to get people thinking about it, talking about it, and just considering what it is that you do. Or the way people or talk to people about your ideas. So the notion of intrigue. Any of those would describe your marketing. Is the, are you amusing in your marketing? Are you entertaining? Are people riveted by your marketing? And you may think, I don't think so. But see what you can do to kind of bump it up just a bit. Okay? And then the last letter that we will talk about is N, which is for niched or niched, depending on how you prefer to use that particular term. And so you know what a... And I told you right at the beginning that you want to know who it is you're marketing to. And it is not everyone. Everyone who can read. People, you don't have to have all 7 billion of them to be able to make a difference. So get clear on that. Take care of your pufflings. Do not try to worry about anybody else's. And some people will try to talk you out of who you work with. You want to talk about, who you work with and get it clear to other people. I write for these people. I don't write for those people. And you might say, well, what if some people are offended? One time I was at this networking thing, and you have to introduce yourself. And so I said, well, I work with very bright and creative women. I just thought, yay for people who are not highly educated and smart. Turns out that is not who I work with. And so there are plenty of people who work with them. Good. And so they can say that. They can say, if you're super smart, highly educated, don't come talk to me. Talk to Megan. And so just, I want you to just think about that. The other way to think about the N is to think about nested. And we're not going to end up having time to talk about that other than, let me just give you a graphic to show you, because you've got this, and I'd be happy to talk to anyone who want to talk about this. The notion is the great big mauve section, that would say be touch one. And here we're only imagining four. That would be touch one, and it would have a particular group of people you would be going for. The next touch is embedded within this bigger one. It's not a whole separate group. It's a subset of this group. Then you mark it in a little more tightly, and then you mark it in a little more tightly, and more tightly, and more tightly. This is some of the planfulness that you can use. Because too often, this is what happens. People have got, they send out some books to some people. And so that's one group. And then they do some postcards. Different people. So these are like two brand new one-touch kinds of situations. And you want to do things that are purposeful, planful, make a difference. So, this is the speed clicking. It doesn't matter how many times you practice in your room. You never can say it fast enough. And I hope, did everybody get this sheet that looks like this? This is a brand new publication. It just came out about 3 weeks ago. If you do nothing else this semester, you have to get yourself organized. And it's for faculty. I'm happy to give that to you, but you need to give me back that sheet sometime before, you can give it to me today or give it to me tomorrow before I leave. That, because we're not going to have time to do the lightning round, but we can do that tonight in the reception. Just go around. What's your best marketing idea? And other people who weren't in this session will think, why are they doing that? But truly, make it a point here at this conference. What have you done that has worked well for marketing? Ask them what it is they're marketing and how they market it well. You might as well get some ideas and jot them down to have. It's nice to have as many as possible. Now, if you consider the fact that you've actually since before you came out of the womb, and pretty much as soon as you showed up, you were all about marketing. You figured out what you wanted, and then you made that known. And if here at the because you didn't even have words then you would do something else and do something else until eventually wanted known. And so I want you to think about that for yourself at this point, that none of your marketing efforts that you've already done in your first 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 years of life have led to your demise. And so from here on out, you can just keep trying out some new things, because you want the work you've done in the minds of the readers who will benefit from your work.